name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our verse for consideration today, Proverbs 29:15. There is my translation of it for you. A rod and reproof will give wisdom, and a young man forcibly sent away is causing shame to his mother. A rod and reproof will give wisdom, and a young man forcibly sent away is causing shame to his mother. A little bit different its rendering than you have it in some of your conventional translations. The most popular, the most familiar around here of those conventional translations, the New King James Version, renders it, the rod and the rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So a lot is the same. There are some things that are different though as well. Let's look at it. This is the only verse we'll look at today. A rod and reproof will give wisdom. In that is over against what in the B part of the verse is a young man who's causing shame to his mother. We know that this rod is the rod that we've encountered many times in Proverbs. It's almost the only place in the Bible where you encounter this rod. But in Proverbs, you do encounter it many times. This is the rod of reproof. The Scripture says that, elsewhere in Proverbs, that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of reproof will drive it far from him. What a word to be connected with rod. Drive it far from him. It's not really the idea of gentle taps, is it? But rather serious application of discipline. The rod is our word which conveys the idea of what's come to be called corporal punishment. Just physical discipline. In other words for it today, spanking. I have no problem with the word beating, you know. But it's that kind of discipline that is applied to a child. And as we'll see today, not necessarily as small of a child as you might expect either, but applied to a child to correct ill behavior, sinful behavior. Note that it is a rod and a reproof, and that this will give wisdom. Wisdom here in the Hebrew text, a lovely sounding word, chokhmah. And wisdom, it is usually translated as such. I don't know if you think about it this way. This rod, the reproof, most people would not have a difficulty there with it giving wisdom. But the rod and reproof will give wisdom. Sometimes you should have, reproof by itself without the rod. At other times, you will have the rod with reproof, but you should never have just the rod without reproof. Then the one to be corrected doesn't know what he's done wrong. And you should not be sparing your words in that what may seem like a long time to you, but it's a window. It's a brief window of time. Some try to hasten that window, that is the window of time that a child is being raised, not parented. You have a child. You will parent that child the rest of your days, provided the child lives longer or as long as you do. But you will be done raising that child at a certain time. So that during the raising process, there will be times that call for this rod. So I'm going to speak to you rather frankly today, and since nobody talks like this about this subject, to 21st century American ears, this may sound very harsh, and I'm not going to make it any more harsh than it is. I'm not going to try to make it sound harsh. I don't put any stock in shock value. I don't want to make it as dramatic as I can. But just stating certain things, matter-of-factly, stating factually what they are, sometimes things that don't even need to be stated. When you actually state them, since people think they don't need to be stated, when you actually put it into words, when you frame it then in language, it can sound so harsh, so severe. But you'll see what I mean as we begin to do that. The rod, here, I guess this is the first one, I guess we start right away. The rod, it's not your hand. It is an implement of some kind. Some of our parents here and myself as well have been very creative with the implements that we have used in time past, none of which are wrong. Mine was always the spatula when the age was younger. I had one particular thin plastic spatula that broke under such pressure of the application of the rod. Now that tells you, I don't care how thin that plastic was. You must have been putting some force behind it to break a spatula. Yeah, that's the point. Have I told you before about the... I think I have, actually. Maybe some of you haven't come as... haven't been here in the last couple of years. Maybe I've taken a long time to tell the story. But maybe some of you recall the story. Have I told you? Sometimes I think about things to tell you, and then when I get there, I never tell you, because I don't do the notes thing, just read off the page. So I don't know. Have I ever told you about the sweeper attachment? Yes, we have some affirmative nods about the sweeper attachment. I've never used the sweeper attachment, but one day it was used on me. And that's the story of the sweeper attachment. I was in the habit of staying out later than my mom would have me stay out. And I would call much of the time. I would say, can I give me another hour, give me another half an hour? And she almost all the time would do so. My memories of such lessons is very sparse because my mom next to never operated in the rod. And she was very, what do we call it, indulgent. I got away with murder. So I never expected anything like a sweeper attachment. But one day, those sweeper attachments, some of you aren't old enough to know this, but the old Electrolux sweeper that had, you connected the hose to whatever you were doing with this metal, this silver, this chrome attachment. And one day, I said, can I have another half an hour? And maybe the answer was no. I don't recall all the details of this. But I just know I was way later coming back from my friend's house, which was just like four houses down the street. There's no problem getting home. There's nothing to understand, except that you just blew off what I wanted you to do. And so I came in, and my mom was usually downstairs in the living room. The front door opens into the living room, and open the door. She's not there. I don't see anybody in the living room. I just open the door, and wow, my mom went, mom's asleep already? And as I closed the door, this little woman with a sweeper attachment came out from behind the door and started flailing on me with that chrome Electrolux attachment. That's the rod, okay? If anybody doesn't know what the rod is, it's whatever implement of your choice that is short of child abuse that would be valid scripturally that applies pain to teach you, you will listen to me in time future. That's what we're talking about. That's the rod. Whether it's the Electrolux sweeper attachment or it is the plastic spatula or whatever it is, as I look out in the audience, I know of certain other implements which I won't speak about that you have used. You know those paddles? That's a good name for them. You know those paddles? I could never do this, the one that you hit the ball, a little red ball like that. Once that ball comes off, that serves very well. That's my only other memory of the application of the rod in my life was the little paddle ball paddle without the ball. This is anathema today in our society. And you are called by the Lord Jesus Christ on every subject to be countercultural, to go against what the culture tells you if it's telling you anything other than Bible. This is horrific. This is horrible. You know, you never ought to take some implement to your child's gluteal region. That's child abuse. It has been child abuse. It can be child abuse. It may be child abuse. But it may not be. And we're certainly not advocating child abuse. The Bible isn't advocating child abuse. But it's a good test for how scriptural are you thinking? How scripturally are you thinking? If we were to take the verses and just apply them, just state what they are, what they mean, that deal with this subject, I'll bet some of you would think it's child abuse. Because I'll bet that you've been infected by the cosmic philosophy of raising children. For instance, it's a verse in the Bible. Okay, it's right out of the Bible. I make no apology for it. I don't have any problem with this verse. And when I just state what it means, then, or what it may mean in this case, you may think it's just horrible. Here's the verse. The blueness of a wound heals. It's in relation to this form of child training. You shall beat him with the rod. He will not die. Alright, now, there's a couple ways I could take that verse, but either one of them doesn't get us out of the cosmic repugnance of the infection of our culture. What do I mean by cosmic repugnance? I mean that's repulsive to me. That thought, where did you get that? You got that from the cosmos, where we get the word cosmic. It is the word that is translated world in the New Testament. So cosmic repugnance is my Timotheic way of saying you have this aversion to that because you're worldly in that area. Now, don't you like cosmic repugnance much better than you have this aversion because you're worldly? Okay? The blueness of a wound heals. Now, I could take that two ways. Neither one of them is going to get me out of the cosmic repugnance category. Either it's saying, and both of them mean pretty much the same thing, either don't worry about it. If you wound your son in the application of the sweeper attachment or the spatula or the rod, that wound will heal. Or we can take it as infliction of that pain that caused that wound is going to heal that kid from the disease that's cropping up in their life, this particular manifestation of sin. Either way, you've got to deal with that in the verse which is repugnant to the cosmos, namely the blueness of the wound. If you left a wound because you applied this rod, that's child abuse. So says the world. So says your social worker. So says your psychologist. So says your teacher. So says your public service professional. So says your television commercial. Not so says the Word. And then it says, you shall beat him with the rod. Beat him with the rod. You shall hit him with an implement. You see what I'm saying? If I just state matter-of-factly what that means, you shall hit him with some implement. And you shall save his soul from Sheol. Meaning, you'll stop his dying the sin unto death as this thing that is the beginning of a spirit trend in his life takes full fruition later on in such a way that if he's a believer, God will kill him. You'll save him from the ultimate of divine discipline, the sin unto death. He will not die, the third part of this passage, means, though it sounds like you're killing him, though, and I don't mean like in the language I'm talking about in the ejaculations of this kid under the admonition of the rod. He's screaming proverbial bloody murder, like, you're murdering me, you're bloody murdering me. You know, he's screaming like crazy, you won't kill him. Not if you love him, you won't kill him. That would be abuse. If you kill him, I admit, you're guilty of child abuse. That's not what this is about. A father who spares the rod, the scripture tells us, hates his son. Because he's allowing these manifestations of evil, these tracks that the kid's laying down, to be perpetuated. And all of those negative results, all of the inevitabilities that come from a life lived that way. What are we saying? It's saying that it's always right to use the rod. Definitely not. We're saying the rod and reproof will give wisdom. If we take our lead from the best father who has ever existed, namely God the Father, and we do this the way he does it, he's very reticent to use the rod. And the rod isn't some implement in this. It is, but not a physical thing on us. We are his children. We are, as far as being humans, we're adults. So we're adult children, but we're still children. And you're never going to catch up to God. He's the Ancient of Days. You're never going to come close to his age. You're never going to get wiser than him. You're never going to get stronger than him, than he. We have situation where you have a father, let's say he's in his 90s, and you have a son who is maybe in his 60s or 50s. That son is stronger than his father. This will never happen in the spiritual realm. I don't care how old we get, I don't care how strong we get, we'll never be as strong as God. We'll never be as wise as God. We'll always be children. We live in this earth for what the scripture in James calls a vapor of time. And we don't learn it all by the time we exit. So he is teaching us things. According to Hebrews 12, he applies the rod. But he is very reluctant to use that rod. So if I'm to be like God, I must use a rod. If I'm to be like God, I must loathe to use it. I must not want to use this rod. I must want to use every other means at my disposal that's reasonable. Because you can always say, well, I can always do something else, and you should have applied the rod 2 years ago. You know, I'm not saying if you can ever come up with another way to do this. I'm just saying that you shouldn't want to do that. Who would want to do that to their child? But I don't think it ought to pain you to do it either. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you idea. It shouldn't. This should hurt them more than it hurts the person applying it. Like, I really don't want to do this, but I'm not crying over it. I'm not sentimental. I'm not shedding any tears over this. It's time. The grace space has been utilized. We must apply the rod. So when we just say in other language, when we just word it differently, what the Bible says, boy, it sounds horrible if you've got cosmic infection. When you're growing up as a parent, maybe you want to be a very good parent, and so you read certain books. Let me tell you something about books. Would you call training, raising children, would you call that a good work? I think it is. It's good work. Therefore, Scripture tells me in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all Scripture is inspired of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that, this is a purpose clause, the man of God may be equipped. Next word in the Greek text is the same word equipped, but it's intensified with a preposition upon it. Fully equipped for every good work. If you agree with me that raising children is a good work, then the Scripture says that you don't need anything outside of Scripture to do that. You can be equipped. Yeah, but there'll be other things that you will need that you're not equipped. No, fully equipped for every good work. I'm telling you, this, if you had nothing else and you had this, you have everything you need to know how to raise children. Back when I was growing up, the man's name was Dr. Spock. He was supposed to be the authority on raising children. He was some kind of, you know, something in the psychological world. That's where he got his doctor title from. And he told you all how to raise children. He told you how to do this. If you get a book on raising children, and it's just, it's not a Christian book, I'm telling you, there's nothing of value in it. That you do not need that. It's going to be worldly. It's going to be wrong. Now, when I was in Bible college, which I don't know exactly when, but I've been a pastor here for 23 years, 3 years in Bible college, between 23 and 26 years ago, I bought a book because I had kids. I had Corinne at the time. Jessica was not born yet. And I'm telling you, I took this seriously as the proverbial heart attack. I took a class in Bible college called Christian Leadership. It was on a track. You took it. It was like after you graduate, there was a major that you could take after you already graduated from Bible college. Like, if you wanted to continue, you could take this Christian leadership track, and that's the major, but this class was named the same thing. I took it when I didn't graduate, and usually the people that took it wanted to be pastors or had some kind of aspiration like that. At the time, I didn't have any thought of being a pastor. You say, why'd you go to Bible college? Irrelevant for today, but if you want to ask me, I'll tell you about it. And I took that class as an elective because I had to have a number of electives. And I said, I'm taking that class, Christian leadership. In my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to use every principle that they give me here in my house. I'm telling you, I took this seriously. I get an A for effort. I didn't do everything right, but my effort is A. And part of that is I bought this book in the bookstore, How to Raise Children by, and I won't tell you his name, because I'm getting ready to slam it in a minute. And it was not your worldly book. It was a Christian book. What makes a book Christian? Does the book believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? What makes a Christian is if it squares in everything it's saying with the Scripture. And it didn't. If it had a verse like this, I'm sure it quoted this verse. I can't remember it doing so, but I'm positive it quoted this verse. It was a whole section on the rod in this particular book. I know it quoted this verse. In verses like this that are very straightforward about it, that are very clear, it squared exactly with the Bible. But most of the book didn't have verses for it. It was almost like it was a hailing to the 1950s conservative American book. And everything that was conservative in the 1950s and American, that's the way you want your kids to grow up. And so it talked about how often you should get your boys a haircut. And it talked about, you know, girls ought to always wear dresses and pretty frilly things and things like that. And I was very disappointed with the book because I kept saying, there's no Bible for this. There's no Bible for that. There's no Scripture backing that up. Just because it's got this Christian tagline on it doesn't mean it's any good either. What it did was it taught you how to raise good-appearing little Pharisees. And I don't endorse the book today. I'd never say, here, you know, this is a great book. But it's Christian. The idea is, if you have the Bible, you've got everything you need to raise these children that we have been entrusted. And anything outside of it, it's not necessary. I'm not going to take counsel from the world. You say, aren't there things out there that they're valid? I mean, this, you know, little tricks, little psychological things you can do to just subtly correct behavior. Like, they used to tell me, where did I pick this up? There's got to be a class somewhere that when you're a teacher and there's a student giving you problems and they're talking, they can't stop talking to their brother. You just walk up behind them and touch them like this. And it just sets them right immediately, and you don't have any problem any longer. You know, things like that. Aren't those valuable things that you can learn from the world? I don't think so. The rod and reproof. Forget the rod for a minute. We don't want to use the rod. We're going to when it's necessary. That's what we're talking about, but we don't want to do that. Rather than, oh, the subtle, hope she gets this. You know, why don't we say, excuse me, stop talking now. All right? Why can't we address? Why can't we be upfront? Why can't we be honest? Why can't we be frank with our children? Why can't we just state how it is? That's a reproof. Reproof doesn't have to be yelling. Reproof doesn't have to be harsh. Reproof is just, you're not going in the direction I want you to go. Start going in this direction. This is why. And you explain. That, I had a book, I'm reminded of it now. I had a book that, from Deuteronomy 6, and this was a good one. It was talking about how to raise teenagers, and it's like lead was Deuteronomy 6. Its whole point was, Deuteronomy 6 that talks about, you shall speak of these things when you rise up, when you sit down, as you walk along the way, as you retire. And it's not, okay, four times in a day, I'm going to speak the Bible to my kids. That's not the point. The point is, all day long, every day, all day, it's a Bible infusion, just extravaganza. I mean, your children are hearing constant Bible viewpoint for everything that happens in life. That's where reproof is so valuable. We're not saying that they're way off. They're doing bad. They're doing something bad. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about you pick this up in school somewhere about what's fun. You know? And not in the sense of, sit down, I'm going to tell you about what really I think is fun. It's a response to life as it happens from Christocentric perspective. That's Deuteronomy 6. And the whole book was about how do we apply Deuteronomy 6 when you have teenagers? How do you apply Deuteronomy 6 when you have toddlers? How do you apply Deuteronomy 6? So it's all about Deuteronomy 6. It's all about an all-day, everyday, living with my parents is like breathing Bible atmosphere. It's the rarefied oxygen of Christocentric perspective all the time. When that happens, you're going to be reading the Bible together. When that happens, you're going to be taught when you're not reading the Bible together. You're not going to get Dad's opinion. You're not going to get Mom's preference. You're going to get Bible, or it's not really worth correcting you about. But it is a Scripture-soaked, truly Christocentric, thoroughly Christocentrized, radical Christocentricity that's going to be Biblicism. It's going to mean there's a Bible ministry going on all day in the home. And that's the reproof side. The Lord Jesus Christ said, as many as I love, I rebuke, that's our reproof, that is, I tell them, wait a minute, you're off base here. This is wrong, this is the way back. And chasten. Chasten is the rod. Note that he says he rebukes before he chastens. He always wants to rebuke before he chastens. He doesn't desire to chasten. Even the wicked. Ezekiel says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So how much less pleasure does he get, no pleasure at all, out of applying the rod to his children? But he does do it. He does correct us with the implement, if you will, of circumstances, of situations that descend upon our lives by divine design because we're not squaring with something scriptural. That's what makes it discipline. Okay, the rod and reproof will give wisdom. They do communicate wisdom. It's learning the hard way, but it is learning. Here's our next and final, before we go on with the second half of the verse, here's our next and final thing that deals with a statement of just something that should be understood, like why even do this, unless there's a certain level of pain, but cosmic infection hates to hear it. The rod, in that it's physical, you're applying some kind of pain to a child physically. And I remember the words, some of the words that came out of the sweeper attachment, spanking or beating. I uttered this, totally surprised because my mother never did this. You know, I uttered this statement, I mean, this wonderfully wise thing like, wow, I mean, that's deep. When this descended upon me and I said, that hurts. Okay? I remember the response. I meant it to. That's the point. That's the only reason you do this. So, if going up and kicking Mr. Matt in the shins because he told me I wasn't supposed to be on the platform. This is off, you know, this is off limits. The platform. None of our kids really get it, but you shouldn't be on the platform, okay? Now if Mr. Matthew is up there on the platform and he says, hey, you're not supposed to be on the platform. And I get this, I'm a kid, and I get this kick out of kicking, you know, he'll never say that to me again. Okay. When I, as the parent, find out about that, I have to say, you know when people ask when somebody does something particularly nasty that's motivated by revenge, and they say, how did that feel? And usually the response is something like, it really felt good. Okay. Well, if that really felt good, and that's not behavior that we want to condone, we're going to have to give you a repercussion of that which felt good that feels worse than that felt good. In other words, if this felt this good, I'm going to have to make this feel that bad. So that when in the future you get gently corrected by some adult and you think, kick him in the shin, you will think, whoa, this is not worth it. Because that'll probably really feel good to my flesh. But my more literally flesh will really not feel good if my dad finds out about this. It's just simple. You've got to make the amount of discomfort or displeasure higher than the degree of comfort or pleasure that they would get out of doing that thing that was wrong. That's the rod. And the rod, in that it's an implement, what's a rod? A rod is, this word in Hebrew is a branch of a tree. This is the word that's usually translated, and it's translated more this way than rod or anything else. It's usually translated tribe. Because on the family tree of Jacob, who was named Israel, these branches went out. 12 branches went out. One of those branches is a tribe. So you got a branch from a tree. How many times have you ever heard you've heard something on television, or, you know, most of you are too young to remember such days when the cosmos hadn't infected this area that we're talking about yet. And a father would say, go pick a branch from the tree. And you went and picked a branch from the tree. You know what? I thought about this today only because my weird mind, when dealing with this passage, thought like this. Like, I was never told to do that, but if I had to pick a branch from a tree, you don't want to pick that big branch, you know? You want to pick a real little branch. And then I thought, you know, the physics behind this is wrong. Because if you come at me with this branch, and it's a thick branch, all of the power will be diffused over a greater area in the big branch. It won't hurt as much as that little, you know, that switch, that when all of the power is directed on this little small area here, it won't sting as much if you pick the bigger branch. But a rod, oh, this is going to sound horrible. Get ready to wince. A rod is like a branch that has been fashioned. It's a branch that you got all the bark, all the rough bark of it off, and it was crooked and you made it straight. You know, you took this big branch like that and you saw a nice, you know, straight rod in the midst of it, and like a Michelangelo, you carved that branch and made it this long rod like that. Here's where it gets really sounding bad. It kind of pictures something like a baseball bat. Now, am I saying you stand there at the, you know, at the plate and swing to hit a homer on this kid? No, I'm talking about turn that bat around, the small end of that bat. And if you hit a kid with the small end of that bat, that's the picture here. The grip end of that bat. You got a rod, something that feels good in your hand, something about that size, and you apply it. It's a rod. They may say, it hurts. You can take your lead from my mom. You can say, I meant it to. That's the point. If you don't get this, child, the right way, then the easy way, then you can get this the hard way. A rod and reproof will give wisdom, and a young man, this is a na'er in Hebrew. I translate it young man because it's not a little kid. This is like, it's masculine, though there, if we could make this feminine. But it's masculine in our verse. You're talking about someone who is of teenage maturity, who is transitioning. They're just under manhood. And many times in the scripture, this is used to people who are full grown. There's the next thing. This is not the way the world and the America that we live in thinks. Well, you know, that's fine for little kids. You know, you can use the plastic spatula on the little kid. But They get to a certain age where you don't do that anymore. Really? This is a young man. This is a Na'er. Now, this Na'er, we're done with the cosmically odious part of this. Here's the second part. And a young man forcibly sent away. Your NKJV has left to himself. Like, we're not kind of paying any attention to what he's doing. He can just do whatever he feels like. Yeah, that's bad. Because if that's the opposite of the rod and reproof, right? I mean, if you either don't care what he's doing, or you're applying wisdom in reproof, and if you don't get it that way, by means of a rod. So you're not just leaving him alone. But this is not simply leaving him alone. The reason I translate it this way is because we have a Hebrew word which means to send away. And then it's in a pu'al form, which intensifies the action of that verb. Someone who is intensely or intensively sent away, that doesn't kind of make sense. If you say, go away over there, and they don't do it, and you let them know that you want them to go away more strenuously, that's why I translate it forcibly sent away. It is this intensified form with the same Hebrew word that is used in Genesis 3. The more I think about it, the less I think that we'll finish Genesis 3 this Friday or get this far in Genesis 3 on Friday. It'll definitely take us more than 1 week to do that chapter. But it's the word that is used as to what God did with Adam and Eve after they sinned when he forcibly sent them away out of the garden. We don't want to leave the garden. Well, you have to. Now, picture the second part of this verse. Just take it as I've worded it for you. I've told you why I've worded it this way. A young man forcibly sent away is causing shame. Hifil, he's making it happen. He's making this shame, bush, Hebrew, happen upon his mother. This is the idea, it's another parenting foible, of, Mom, can I do this, Dad, can I do that? I don't care, just get away from me. I don't care, just get away from me. What you're doing is this verse. You're doing the B part of this verse. If they're allowed to do it, and they ask you, you can say yes. That is, you don't have to respond with emotions. You don't have to react in the flesh if they're bothering you. And why are they bothering you? Maybe you're just an irritable person. Maybe they're irritating kids. But either way, guess what? You're the adult. You're the one out in this picture that should be in control of their emotions. You're the one that is to maintain the emotional stability by way of the mind and the will dictating to the feelings what they will feel. You decide how you feel. I'll decide how I feel. I mean, this thing happens to me and I have a reaction. How can I choose how I feel? Well, the Lord says, more than any other command in the Scripture, don't fear. Fear is a feeling. Fear is an emotion. If He tells you, don't fear, that means you can shut off that emotion. It's in your power to say, I'm not going to be afraid. And for that second, to shut off that emotion. Scripture likewise says in Ephesians chapter 4, put off anger. Anger is an emotion. Anger is a feeling. When you're very aware of it. You're very conscious of the way that it's acting upon your soul, aren't you? It's a feeling. It may have thought behind it. There may be reasons why you feel that way. But if the Scripture can say, put off anger, then it means you can do it, especially if it's written in the New Testament. Because the Old Testament is the time period where we were given things to our flesh to perform that we were not able to perform so that we would get to the place of bankruptcy. The New Testament doesn't tell us to do things that we can't do. God makes us new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And He gives us the Holy Spirit to be the grace power so that we can operate in a divine, power sphere. We have every reason to be able to do anything that God asks us to do. And He says, put off anger. That means I can control my emotions by an act of my will. And I should as a parent. So, you're either coming up to me and you're very annoying and you're bugging me. Or, you're not. I'm just an irritable, quick-tempered person. Either way, if I'm the parent, I as a believer am to flip that switch and get my heart in check. I don't ever have to answer my child. I don't care. Now, I might say, I don't care. You know what? But that snap of attitude, I don't care. I don't care. Just get away. That attitude, I was talking with someone earlier today, and I won't go into what it is, but the idea, I said, we have this poignant example of how the power of life and death is in the tongue. If you're going to allow them to do it, say yes. Just say yes. Not, I don't care. Now, I don't care. Just get away from me. That's forcibly sending away a young man. Or a young woman. A girl. Either way. Child. Let's apply this in another direction. This kid's really giving me a hard time. I don't know what to do. How about we'll send them away to boarding school. We'll send them to reform school. They probably don't even have those anymore. We'll send them to a military academy. They won't take anything. Basically, what you're saying is, I want to get this kid out of my hair. When you have a child, and I know this is resisted when I say this, more than most things that I say, you are responsible to raise that child for the next 2 decades of your life. The next 20 years, that's how long they're going to be, according to the Scripture, kid. They're going to be a child for the next 20 years. When they're 19 and they think they know everything, they're a kid. They're a child. And there is this desire on the part of some parents, speed this up. You know, our country says it's 18. They're an adult now. Get out of here. This mindset of get out of the house. I can't wait until you leave. Get out of here. Like, things that are spoken, attitudes that are behind otherwise innocuous, innocent things, but that tone, that way of saying it, all of these things work to damage that child and to make him really know this. My mom hates me being around. My dad can't wait until I'm out of here. I one time spoke with James Ford, and I don't know what the context was, but it was very much I was talking about, my kids can stay with me. I don't care how, they can be 50 years old and they can still be living in my house. I said, if any of you remember this or ever used to watch this, I told him, I'm not Heathcliff Huxtable. You know, on the Cosby Show, he always was like, looking forward to his kids getting out of the house, and they would always come back. And he would always, want to help them, do anything to help them get out and stay out. Abraham wasn't Heathcliff Huxtable either. We see Isaac is 40 years old. He's not married. He's living in Beersheba, right with Abraham, his father. That too. That's an American thing. You're going to live in this guy, he's the total loser if he's 40 years old and he lives with his parents. Why? The script, because you're American. The Scripture has not a total loser. Second in the line of patriarchs. Living with first in the line of patriarchs. You know, we get this name for God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not the God of Abraham and this loser Isaac, and then Jacob, and he's whatever you want to call him. I tell you, a mind overhaul, renovation of thinking is what, it's why we do what we do on Wednesday nights, or Sunday morning, or Friday nights, or any other time. It's to say, I'm probably really messed up in the way that I think on whatever subject is going to encounter me in this chapter that we're studying today. Before I know what's there, or I think I know what's there, I just read it, before Timothy tells me something that's in the Hebrew that I could have never seen before, before I know what's told me, I'm already agreeing with it. Whatever's in there, I'm agreeing with it. So if I come in here today, you should never spank a child, and I read the rod and... Well, then I change my mind. That's what we do. We're in this process of repentance that is changing our minds as we hear things in the Scripture. This child, you forcibly send him away. Some people forcibly send their kids away. Get rid of them. Because they're embarrassing us here. We have to deal with them, in your case, we have to deal with them in church, and they're always shaming me. People are judging me because of the way my kids act. And most of you, this doesn't relate to you because your kids are so little. Your kids are small. But the older they get, the more pain they're capable of returning to you. And the more they begin to think for themselves, and they ought to, but not for themselves like opposed to the Scripture. The attitude, the mindset of, let's make it be known that we want you out of here, is going to backfire because it's going to cause more shame to that parent than if you rode this out. That is, until you're grown, it's my responsibility to try to guide you, to direct you, to stay some of this behavior that isn't right, and get you back on the right track. A young man forcibly sent away is causing shame to his mother. There's our verse today. There's one coming up in a few weeks, and it too deals with correction of children. When we get there, then I'll rehearse everything that was in Proverbs again, because it's the last time that you'll hear it in a long time. That's why we didn't look at all the verses about the rod today. That's coming up. Not today. But you see it, you see what's here, right? There's not much more to say about it. The rod and reproof will give wisdom. And a young man forcibly sent away is causing shame to his mother. The one having ears to be hearing, let him be hearing.